everybody, and welcome into a special podcast right here on Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluel, and I'll be in today's driver's seat as we bring you lots of baseball-specific talk today with a very special guest coming up in just a moment. Before we get started, make sure to follow us on Twitter at ChiTalkSports. Hit me up personally on Instagram at John Zags, on Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. Today's show is brought to you by Moochie World, where inspiration meets creation. Call 708-247-2100 to book parties, paint your own pottery, and have art classes for adults and children. Moochie World, creativity at its finest. And by the Windy City Thunderbolts. Help celebrate the team's 20th anniversary season by purchasing tickets for next year right now at 708-489-2255. Again, that's 708-489-2255 for your chance to be a part of history next year in Crestwood. Well, now that the Red Sox have won the World Series and the MLB regular season is now over, it's time to shift into the offseason and the free agency period, and right now it's already a hot-button topic. Guys like Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are out on the open market, and some teams, including the Chicago White Sox, have been linked to getting one of them. This is always a hectic time because we continually make predictions and speculate as to who will end up where before the next season begins. However, no one's a prophet. No one has a crystal ball. It's very hard to determine where a player will end up. We can make all of these foolish predictions all we want, but the truth is we need an expert in the room. We need someone who has sources, who's up to date, who knows what's going on, who knows the inner workings of the game. And fortunately enough, we have an interview today with someone who does just that. He's worked for ESPN for a number of years, and now he's with The Athletic and MLB Network. He's a highly accomplished individual, and I'm so happy that I'm able to bring this interview to you today. During the interview, we'll be talking about the White Sox and their chances to get Manny Machado and/or Bryce Harper, and also examine the question, what is Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and other big-name free agents truly worth in the grand scheme of things? Later in the interview, we'll talk to our special guest about his amazing journalism career, plus allude to his expert trivia questions, some of which torment people who try to answer them. That's all coming up right here, right now, on Sports Talk Chicago. Thank you for your continued support and enjoy what's to come. It's now time for our special guest. He began his sports journalism career in 1979, joining the Philadelphia Inquirer as the beat writer for the Philadelphia Phillies. From 1983 through 1999, he also produced a nationally syndicated Baseball Week in Review column, covering the game on a national scale. In 2000, he became a senior baseball writer for ESPN, a position that he held for 17 years. Today, he covers the MLB nationally for The Athletic while serving as a host on MLB Network. Please welcome Jason Stark to the show. Jason, how are you doing today? And thank you for being here on the show. Well, to start today, Jason, let's take a look at the upcoming free agency class. Now, it's one that's headlined by both Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, two superstars in their own right. But as a baseline question, do you feel that either Harper or Machado is truly worth the $400 million price tag that is being purported?
Is it designed to beyond just the baseball part. I often look at these things as not so much baseball signings, but corporate acquisitions. And so if I ask you that in that context, you tell me what Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are going to be.
That's an interesting point that you bring up, and it makes you wonder which teams are going to be in the running for them. Are they going to be in it more so too, as you mentioned, more so to make a statement or because they need the player? Do you see any certain teams in mind who may be in it just, you know, to make that statement, or are there teams that you're seeing that truly need someone like Harper and Machado to make a run next year? What are your thoughts on that?
Associated with both guys, it's clearly going to chase both guys, and that is the Phillies. Phillies ownership led by John Middleton has a much different stance on stuff like this than it did a few years back. And I think the owner would be driving the signing of one or both because they contended most of this past season and didn't draw, didn't connect with the fan base, and I think it's ownership's feeling that they need a star. So I think, in the case of the Phillies, that's what that would be. If either or both were to wind up with the White Sox, that's what that would be. It would be a game changer, a perception changer. The Giants, Bryce Harper, a lot of talk there. That's a baseball signing, much in the vein of Barry Bonds a long time ago, but that's also a keep those fannies in the seats signing. So there'd be a lot of it if it's those teams. But if Bryce Harper goes back to the Nationals, that's a little different because they're familiar with his work. If it's the Yankees and Machado, that's a baseball signing more than anything else. Every situation is a little different. I think there's an element of obviously baseball importance in every one of these discussions, but there's also the other part of it that hovers above these negotiations.
Jason, you mentioned the White Sox. How legitimate do you think their chances are of landing Harper or Machado? Their payroll's very low. They have enough money to spend. How legitimate are those chances for the White Sox to make a run at them or sign another big-money free agent?
John, I am convinced that at least one of these guys, and very likely both of these guys, in the end, is going to take the biggest pile of money that is heaped in front of them. Bryce Harper hired Scott Boras a long time ago. Why does any player hire Scott Boras? It's about the money. And, I think if Manny Machado were drawing up a list of teams he would like to go to, a list of teams is not necessarily governed by the, who's going to pay him the most. But his agent, Dan Lozano, I think anybody in baseball would tell you is incredibly competitive with the Boras Corporation, and the total dollars will be extremely important to him and his group in those negotiations. So if it comes down to the money, can the White Sox offer one of those guys the most money? It's not what Jerry Reinsdorf is famous for, but there are very few teams with their revenue stream and their amount of below the tax threshold who can do that.
Jason Stark here on Sports Talk Chicago. And Jason, let's move to the north side now, talk about the Chicago Cubs. Theo Epstein recently commented on the team's 2018 disappointing finish, saying, quote, "It's time to produce or else there's a chance for significant change for the group." What are your thoughts on that comment?
Let's just say this. There is not a word that ever comes out of Theo's mouth, especially publicly, that just happens to slip out. Right? When Theo makes a statement like that, he is sending a message. He's sending a message to his players. He's sending a message to his manager. He's sending a message to his fan base that last year, despite all the games they won, despite the fact that they're one win played in the National League, he didn't like everything he saw. And so he is raising the bar of expectation. I don't blame him. If you look back to what's gone on with the Cubs since 2016, they've won a lot of games. They've been a marquee team. They're a fun team. But how many of their young players have progressed? I think that's what's clearly on his mind, is that he has not seen that progress. And they're going to see it. They need to see it. There's going to be a great sense of urgency surrounding this year, or things are going to change. People fall in love with your team when you win. And that fan base has fallen in love with that group of players. But you can't keep them around forever. You got to break up the band a year too soon, maybe 2 years too soon, even though you don't have to. And I think the Cubs are arriving at a place where those players are getting expensive. And the bar remains high. The window to win with this group, does it expire this year? Not so sure about that, but this is a huge year.
With that heightened sense of urgency, do you see Epstein maybe going out and making some splashes this offseason as well, or are you more concerned with just the team development?
Look, the Cubs never sit out the offseason. Anything is possible. But I think, one of the stories that you've seen out there this winter has been about how concerned they are about their payroll situation. And, they've got some wiggle room. They've got money to spend right now. The problem is, all those young players who are working cheap, pretty soon they're not going to be working that cheap. And they've got to make decisions about what are they going to do about Anthony Rizzo and what he potentially commands? What are they going to do about Chris Bryant and what he potentially commands? Who stays? Who goes? And so, teams like this, they view payroll not in one-year increments, but in 2, 3, 5, and 10-year increments. And so, they're looking big picture. So I think the Cubs will definitely make an impactful signing or two, but don't be surprised if it's accompanied by the jettisoning of some familiar face or two.
Going to your personal career, as I mentioned in your bio, you've been covering baseball since 1979, you worked at ESPN for a while, and you're such a respected voice in the MLB writers community today. How much has this job meant to you?
John, I'm one of the lucky people walking planet Earth, because I'm doing what I dreamed of doing since the time I was 10 years old. And I could tell you my whole life story about why I wanted to be a baseball writer and how incredible it is that came true. But, one of the things that I value the most about doing what I do is, I get to see things that people talk about for 5, 10, 15, 20, 50 years. I get to write about things and express in words stuff that people really care about. I think people who don't get sports think it's just some little hobby that people have just to kill time, fill their time. And I think you and I know this is something that's incredibly meaningful, and it's a huge part of people's lives. And so the passion for the kind of stories that people like me get to write, and the enthusiasm we get back when we write them, and the way they can resonate with people, that's what makes me so grateful that I have the job that I have.
What's been your most memorable moment being a baseball writer? What's been the one thing that you just, you've pinpointed and you always remember throughout your career?
Well, I don't know that I could give you just one, but, the fact that I was there the night the Cubs broke their curse, the fact that I was there the night the Red Sox broke their curse, I'll never forget those things, because those are not sports events. They are life events. They are life-changing events for millions of people. I think that's been true in you. 2008. No pro team in Philadelphia had won anything in 25 years. I know what that meant to people who are all around me. You know, I know what it meant to my kids and my family. This is the best part of covering sports, and the fact that I've been able to be there and write those stories that mean so much to so many people. I think what I remember the most is that.
And before we let you go, Jason, I have to ask, how are you able to craft such intricate trivia questions on MLB Network? I mean, it's impressive the way in which you're able to pinpoint certain aspects of the game. Take me through the process behind each trivia question.
You know, it's funny. I never really set out to be the Alex Trebek of baseball. It just happened by accident when I was at ESPN and used to throw trivia questions in my columns. And the next thing I knew, it became a weekly big deal on Mike and Mike, and it, you know, we've carried it over to MLB Network. And, you know, here's my philosophy about those trivia questions. They should be just easy enough that people think they can get them, and just hard enough that they probably won't. And so what I try to do is pick some player who we've talked a lot about that week and take a look at his career and try to find something about his career that is similar to other players in baseball, sometimes other players in baseball's past, and try to craft some question. I don't like the questions where you got to name eight answers. You know, I like the two, three, maybe four answer questions, and it's fun. It's a challenge to go up with those things every week, and to just torment so many people and have so much fun being tormented is really awesome.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for taking the time to be here on the show today. Always a pleasure having you on.
John, I am glad it worked out, man. I know you've tried hard. Thanks so much.
Well, there you have it. What an honor it was to have Jason Stark on today's show as we talked with him about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, the White Sox chances of getting either of them, plus the Cubs and Theo Epstein's message for next season's team. We also made sure to touch on his great journalism career, plus the logic behind his very, very difficult trivia questions, and I enjoyed that last part with him as well. Well, that does it for us here at Sports Talk Chicago. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Chi-Talk Sports and hit me up personally on Instagram at John Zags, Twitter at John Z Sports, and now on Facebook at John Zagluel. A special thank you to Jason Stark once again for coming on today's show. Always a pleasure talking with him and exploring the game of baseball together. If you like today's podcast, you can subscribe to our website. Simply find the subscription box on the homepage of the site, type in your email, then click confirm on the confirmation email, and from there, you'll be subscribed. You'll receive every new podcast and article directly to your email. Also, Sports Talk Chicago is now on iTunes and Google Play. Every podcast from the 2018 calendar year is now available. Feel free to leave us a 5-star rating and or write a review. Your support is greatly appreciated. And finally, if you like what you heard today on the podcast, tune in every Monday morning on 88.5 FM WHPK right here in Chicago as I host Sports Talk Chicago from 9 to 10 a.m. We explore Chicago and national sports issues, plus have a very special guest on. And if you've noticed on the website, past shows have now been uploaded as podcasts. So feel free to tune in live every Monday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. or tune in later on the website to listen to the show. Thank you again for tuning in to today's podcast, and have a great day.